Good morning, Maori Church of God. How's everybody doing this morning? Good. It's time to get started with the morning worship. And before we get started, we'll go ahead and take care of business and do the offering. have some ushers come up and take care of the offering. Let's bow our heads. We'll pray over this offering. Kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you, Father. We're thankful for just another day of life. Lord, we ask that you bless this offering, that this offering is, it's not about the money, Lord, but it's about giving our tithing to you and lifting up the kingdom of heaven. Father, we thank you for this church and what the church is doing and the resources that we've been given by you. We praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Go ahead. I want to touch on some things that's going on here at the church. We got Vacation Bible School coming up. And Liz told me to tell you, and she was kind of stern about it. She threw punches and everything at me. So if you need a shirt for Vacation Bible School to get up with her today, no later today. If you don't come today, you don't get one, is what she told me. No, I'm just kidding. I like to give Liz a hard time. Liz don't get enough credit for what she does here at the church. But Bible school will be from the 21st through the 25th, and it'll be from 6 to 8, 6 to 8:30. So make it a priority. If you know some kids, invite people. Invite. It is crucial. And a lot of people who are in the congregation can look back and say, hey, my life was changed in Bible school. I was taught the word in Bible school. I learned the word in Bible school. My grandmother was a Bible school teacher, and it changed my life. So that's the thing. And Wednesday, Ted will be preaching on the two witnesses and the mark of the beast. So don't miss out on that. Been good. Ted always does a good job. I don't like to tell him that because I don't want his head getting no bigger than what it already is. But I love him. I'm thankful for him. But other than that, I think that's all we got going on here at the church. Oh yeah, the church app. People don't realize. And I want to talk to you about tithing. Your tithing is a great thing, but here's how me and my wife does it. We do it on the church app. We go on the church app and we do all our tithing on there. And it's a great resource for, because I know sometimes you get here to the church and you're like, man, I ain't got no money. Because all of us, if you're like me, you carry around a debit card everywhere you go. And you ain't got no cash. So, but if you need to do that, the church app is a great resource to do that. So when it hits your mind, just click on it, do it, take care of it. Because you're not giving to us. Don't think that. You're giving to Him. And we got to give to Him. We need to give to Him more than what we do. But this morning, as we get started with morning worship, I want to read a scripture before we get started. And I know I'm being a little long-winded, John. Just throw something at me. But Acts 16, it talks about, it says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately, all the doors were open and everyone's bonds were unfastened. Your praise and your worship match. It sets the captives free. It ushers in the Holy Spirit. When you stand and give Him praise, because listen, people, He woke you up today to sing His praises. He should put a song on your lips every day of the week because He woke you up this morning. He's done so much for us. We should do just that little much for Him. It's okay. Don't worry about everybody else around. You stand. Let's go ahead and stand. As we get ready to get started, let's stand. Look at your neighbor and say, it's okay to worship. It's okay to praise. Just because we're in church, it's okay. Lift your hands and praise. Because church, He is worthy. He is so worthy of all that we can give to Him. It is. Amen. Don't hold back. Don't be lukewarm this morning. Amen. Because a lukewarm bride is going to spew you out. He's deserving of your praise. Give Him what He deserves this morning. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead.
How many names can I use to explain the love of my Jesus and the life that he gave? Oh, and so many times will I praise you today. I lift up my life, 'cause you're always the same. And my offering to you I bring. Your name is Jesus. Your name is Jesus. You're the wonderful, your counselor, my friend. You're what I hold on to. I know that you brought me through all the days of loss. It's through the cross you knew that I need a Savior. How many songs can I sing to proclaim your wondrous love? Oh, and beauty so great. Oh, and what would I say if you brought down the rain? Oh, and every day I walk through the pain, my heart would still say that your name is Jesus. Your name is Jesus. You're the wonderful, your counselor, my friend. You're what I hold on to. I know that you brought me through all the days of loss. It's through the cross you knew that I'd need a Savior. I know that you brought me through all the days of loss. It's through the cross you knew that I need a Savior. I need a Savior. And I need you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't know what people do without him, do you? Hallelujah, hallelujah. I saw the Lord seated on the throne. He was clothed in glory, and high, and the train of his robe, it filled the temple, and the angels gathered around him and cried. They cried,
"You are holy, oh so holy. You are holy, Lord of all."
And with the angels I say, and woe is me, for I am unclean, for my eyes have seen the Holy King. And then he right before my eyes, and the pillar shook as all the angels cried.
praise. Hallelujah. He is holy, holy, holy. Hallelujah.
Lord, you're worthy of my praise. I stand in wonder of your beauty and your power. I stand on holy ground singing glory. And honor, power, forever to you, Lord.
Just to dwell here in your courts is better, better. In your presence I have found, I'm standing on holy ground singing glory, honor, power, forever singing glory.
Nothing more pure and
holy, holy, you are holy, holy, holy.
There is no one like you, there is no one else beside
holy.
You are holy. There is no one like you, there is no one else beside
holy.
You. You are holy. Satan.
Holy,
Satan, angels It was my cross you bore, so I could live in the freedom you died for. And now my life is yours, and I will sing of your goodness forevermore. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. And now my shame is gone. I stand amazed in your love undeniable. Your grace goes on and on, and I will sing of your goodness forevermore. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Oh, worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Oh, worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Oh, worthy. Be exalted now in the heavens as your glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names.
Be exalted now in the heavens as your glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names. Be exalted now in the heavens as your glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names. Be exalted now in the heavens as your glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Oh, worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Oh, worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name.
Oh, Those that know my name will know my voice. I have gathered you here today in the midst, brother and sister. I have gathered you together here in my name, says the Lord. I am here today. I'm amongst you. I have called before. I am calling now. I know you. I have known you from the beginning, and I have ordained you for this day. Know that I, the Lord, am coming soon, and it's up to each one of you to allow yourselves to have a relationship with me. I am coming soon. Be ready, says the Lord. Amen. Well, that sets the stage. I want to thank God for the opportunity to be here this morning. Thank God for Brother Terry Lee sharing what he did in Sunday school. He done a fantastic job being obedient to the Lord. Kind of ties a little bit into what we're going to touch on today, being the Lord's will. But as I was getting ready this morning, Terry told me to tuck your shirt in. And that's why I'm tucked in. And I kind of thought to myself when she said that, Lord, you know what you're doing. One, Terry Lee, I don't really tuck in very well. I was one of those kids growing up whenever my mom would buy me a shirt and tuck in, by the time I was in grade school, it didn't matter. By lunch or by breakfast, usually it come untucked. I just couldn't keep them tucked in. And I thought to myself, she's going to make me tuck this in. And here I am. I ain't been able to preach in a while. Fresh off of camp meeting. And now God's going to have me preach on the Valley of Dry Bones, and I got a shirt tucked in. So that being said, if you see my shirt come untucked sometime through this, pay it no mind. It ain't about what I look like. It's about what I'm saying. Amen? But the Lord's got something I want to share with you this morning. It's from the book of Ezekiel. Dave will put it up here in a little bit. But the title of it is Dust on Fire. Before we get into it, first of all, it's important to ask, who is Ezekiel? Ezekiel is a prophet of the Lord in the Old Testament. He was also a priest. And Ezekiel was privileged to see some pretty powerful things. Ezekiel was the one that the Lord literally allowed to see his glory leaving the temple. He was in exile in Babylon, okay? And the Lord gave him some strong, mighty visions. The Lord actually used him to prophesy, sometimes using his own wife or the death of his wife as an example. So Ezekiel was pretty obedient. And that's the biggest thing about someone that's a preacher or a teacher. Is the most important thing, as we said in Sunday school, it's not about what you say. It's, are you being obedient to the Lord to give it? Because sometimes it's not popular things to give, to be honest with you. Sometimes it is. This is the Valley of Dry Bones, and I'm looking forward to share this right here this morning. But I've also been given those sermons too, where you know I get called to another church to preach, and the Lord Vicky makes me go in and tell them to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Can I tell you something? Everybody says they want a John the Baptist anointing or an Elijah anointing until you're the one who walks in the door telling people to repent. Then all of a sudden, that ain't very popular no more. So that's the thing about it. But Ezekiel had a powerful calling on his life. He also preached or prophesied about hope and restoration, and obviously the Valley of Dry Bones, and we're going to get there. And he actually prophesied about the millennial temple with Jesus in it. By the way, this is not coffee. This is water. Okay? Brought to you by the Logan County PSD, who I am very thankful for today. But today I want to share with you something, what the Lord has put on my heart. This scripture, yes, it is about the nation of Israel. And how many of you know here recently, thank God, recently there's been a ceasefire agreement made between Israel and Iran. And that's wonderful. I thank God for that. Also, in that, it began to kind of get me going one way, Lisa. And this past Wednesday, if some of you folks was able to be here, you know what we kind of taught on a little bit, and was the rapture of the Lord and the coming of Jesus Christ and the importance of being ready. Amen? Now, here's the biggest thing about it. Used to, when you said the word rapture in a church, man, that's about all it took to get a good service going. Now I mention rapture and I don't get nothing out of it. I don't understand that. But can I tell you what the rapture is? One of these days, Jesus is coming back. So if you like your life here better than you want to go up there, then you need to re-examine your life here, because you might not be ready to go up there. Oh! See, we got some people that are in love with the things here on earth than more than they are the things of God. If you like your Tahoe more than you like worship, we got a problem. You and I may not jive too well. Not that God don't want you to have things. Not that God don't, you know, you go out and earn these things. God bless you. Thank God for it. All that stuff. But I tell you something, there's something that's got to be first in their life's place, and that's the Lord. I don't believe Jesus is coming back for anybody that's not ready to meet him. Might sound harsh. Don't really care. 48 years old now. I've got a couple good years left of being the Lord's will. I want to share his word. I want to do my best to encourage others, to preach the gospel, to disciple, help other people grow in the Lord. And that entails, ready for this? Being ready when Jesus gets here. First and foremost, what's our job? What have we done if we've won 1,000 people to the Lord and we missed the boat when the rapture came? Amen? How many people want to be ready when Jesus comes back? Come on, let me hear that. How many want to be ready? You better be amen in that one. Well, here's the deal. Today, I'm led to share something. I'm gonna preach here a little bit, but how you can guaranteed be ready when he comes back. I'm going to preach on the Valley of Dry Bones, but it ain't just about what I'm preaching on. It's why I'm preaching on it. That's the important thing today, being ready. And I look out in the land, and here you got Israel and Iran signing these agreements, and do I think it's over between those two? Not even close. But also see, Brother Joe, here recently in our own country, we've had rioting. And I see all kinds of evil going on in the world, and it kind of goes along with what Paul said, Vicky, about it being perilous times, about in the end times that men would be lovers of flesh, men lovers of themselves more than they would be lovers of God. Can I say amen on that? People care more about what they got on than what God's word is to them nowadays. I see those things happen. I see the wars and rumors of wars that Jesus spoke of. When you see nation rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, famines, pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places, you know all these things are coming. Look up, your redemption is going to draw nigh. I see all those things happening. And you know what that tells me, Jeff? That Jesus is coming back. The Bible talks about it as birth pains. For some of you folks that may or may not know, a birth pain is a labor pain. So in other words, whenever the woman begins to go into labor, she starts having contractions. As a husband, as the man that's with the woman, she may wake up and say, you know what, my water broke. So that means we're on the timer now to get her to the hospital, to get her to where she needs help, because that baby's going to come. And you can start taking timing between contractions. The first one might be 7 minutes apart. The next one might be 5 minutes apart. The next one might be 3 minutes apart. Then it's 1 minute apart. Then by golly, you better be at the hospital, because that baby's about to show up. The birth pains, what happens? They get more intense and closer together before the birth of the child happens. And that's what Jesus is saying. When you see these things happen, not one out here by itself, not one out here by itself, but one after another, after another, after another. Get ready, I'm coming back. That's what he's saying. What's that got to do with Ezekiel? In Ezekiel chapter 37, it says this. Could you stand for the reading of God's word? Brother Dave's got it up there. For some of you folks, if you've never read this, I want you to pay attention. This sermon today is for whether you've served the Lord for 2 months or 47 years. Okay? How many of you believe God's word is true? And you ready for this? God gave Ezekiel this, knowing that Teddy Dean Fry was going to share it today. The God then is the same God today. Amen? So here's what he says. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit in the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. He said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews upon you, will bring upon flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you. Ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones come together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. You can be seated. Now, before I go into how it applies today, it's important that you understand, first and foremost, that he was talking about the nation of Israel, okay? He's in Babylonian exile, captivity, longing for home, no doubt, missing home, missing Jerusalem, missing the way they used to have it. And it's also important to remember that the nation of Israel, this is what they wanted. This is what they longed for. But God was showing Ezekiel something, not just beyond the time period he lived in, but he was showing him of a latter days. So in other words, the nation of Israel was going to go back. And if you've been here on Wednesday night, we talked about the 70 weeks of Daniel. We was able to share a little bit about how Cyrus the Great gave the command for the nation of Israel to go back and build their temple and set them free just as Daniel prophesied they would do. Well, guess what? So that happened. The nation of Israel, as you know, was in their land when Jesus was born to Mary in the little town of Bethlehem. The nation of Israel, although not really controlling their own destiny, they was under Roman rule, but they were still there. And guess what? The Romans are the one that hung Jesus on the cross. Amen? So we know these things. They went there. But at this moment in time, Ezekiel sees a death. He sees a valley of dry bones. In other words, he don't see a people that's even being a people anymore. He sees nothing but skeletons and dust that's upon the valley, upon the plains. And so in other words, God's showing his nation Israel not in a life position, but in a destitute position, Michael, in a way that there's no more life in them whatsoever. And I have to wonder, does Ezekiel start shaking his head a little bit, wondering? Maybe he mourns a little bit, wondering. So in other words, what's going on? What has happened between now and then that I'm looking upon this valley of dry bones? And Jesus in Matthew chapter 24, the disciples come to him, and they says they come to him privately apart and want to ask some questions. But they take him up to this beautiful city, and this is coming toward the end of Jesus' life when he's going to give his life on Calvary. But the disciples are really showing off this temple. And they're saying, look at this over here. And look at that over there. Look how beautiful. I could see it. It would be like you and me going to Washington, D.C. with someone who's not from this country, has never seen it, and saying, look here, Ray, that's the Washington Monument. And over here is the White House. You see over there, there's the Jefferson Memorial, and up on the hill is the Lincoln Memorial. You would say it with pride as an American, man, look at that. Look at that. And that's how I believe these Jewish boys were this day in Matthew chapter 24. But then Jesus says something to them. Jesus says something that not only is going to be a big wake-up call, but I believe it probably hurt their pride a little bit. Jesus says in Matthew 24, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to show him the buildings. And Jesus said, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. So could you imagine you going by saying, there's the Washington Monument, there's the Lincoln Memorial, and somebody saying, I see that, looks good, but guess what? It's going to all be destroyed. What? Keep in mind, they believe Jesus. So they say, Lord, what's this mean? And that's when Jesus gives them the prophecy, gives them the wars and rumors of wars. So in other words, what happened between then and now is in 70 AD, just like Jesus told them, there was a Jewish revolt that took place against the Romans. And the Romans come out and totally wiped out Jerusalem. They tore the temple apart, Jeffrey. They melted it, they burned it, and can I tell you, the flames were so hot, Martha, that the gold that was inside of it melted down and went in between the stones. So men being greedy, not going to leave no gold, maybe they have to pry apart every stone to get that gold back out of there. So literally there was not one stone that was left upon another. So from that day on, the nation of Israel is sent out to the four corners of the world. Not that they wasn't already dispersed, but this was the real point. So in other words, there's no longer a nation of Israel. There's no longer people, Sam. And they're taken from the four winds down to Africa, across the Middle East, up through Russia. Some go into Europe, what we know as Poland and Germany, and eventually the U.S. So in other words, there's no more nation of Israel. So guess what? If you're the adversary, if you're Satan, you've accomplished something, because guess what? How can these prophecies come? How can I be defeated? How can I be destroyed when a people that God said would always be here is no longer here? So if you're the adversary, seems like you're on the winning side of this thing. We finally got rid of them. They're not even a people. Before long, they'll not even have a language anymore. They'll start speaking wherever they're at. They'll give up speaking Hebrew. So guess what? If you're the devil, you got them where you want them. I've got them to a place that they're dead and gone. I look upon it, and there ain't nothing but a valley full of very dry bones. The adversary has succeeded to do what he wants to do. And now Ezekiel sees this, and guess what? God is going to come into the situation. God is going to breathe life into this. Whenever something seems dead, that's beyond man's ability, can I tell you what? Don't chalk it up yet, Terry. God ain't got involved yet. Then suddenly, after almost 2,000 years, 2,000 years nearly, 70 AD to 1948. Folks, we ain't been a country, but 249 years come July 4th. 249 years. We celebrate our birthday on July 4th, 1776. And can I tell you something? That is the birth of this country, because that's when we declared the Declaration of Independence. Had we lost, that wouldn't have been the birth of this country. That'd have been a bunch of men that signed a paper that got hung by the king. Founding fathers, if we would have lost, guess what? They'd have got hung as traitors. But we've not been a country for 250 years, Brother Joe. And imagine the times that have changed and the things that have risen and fallen in 250 years, Terry. Imagine how we've seen things change, Vicki, in our lifespan. 250 years is a long time, but the nation of Israel had ceased to be a country for almost 2,000. So it looks like the devil's got it. But then there was another prophet that gave a prophecy. Isaiah, in the 66th chapter, says, before she travailed and she brought forth, before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. So guess what? God spoke to ensure that the nation of Israel would survive. Now, how do I know that? Because there's one thing the Bible tells me that God will not do and God cannot do, and that's tell a lie. Why can he not tell a lie? Because Tiffany, anytime he speaks it, it's going to come to pass. It's impossible for him to lie. He is the source of truth. He is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. When you struggle, it's your struggle, but God will arrange for you to come out of it. If you're in chains, God can tear them apart if you're willing to meet him where he says to meet you at. If you sinned and come short of the glory of God, it's okay. If you'll confess your sins openly, he's just and faithful to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. How good is God? He loved you so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's who I serve. But 2,000 years, not a country. The nation of Israel is nothing but a valley of dry bones. And how bad did it get? Do you remember the Holocaust? A valley of dry bones. Well, preacher, okay, I believe you. I believe that's regarding the nation of Israel. Absolutely. That's what it says. I agree with you, preacher. But what's that got to do with me? Glad you ask. Because I got to share that to get what it's for. In Ezekiel 37:1, it said, "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and he set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones." What's that say again? See, I believe everything that's in the Bible. You see, there was a reason Ezekiel was told, "Prophesy, son of man. Prophesy, son of man." Isaiah was told, "Prophesy, speak into the winds." Why is that? Because, ready for this, when the Spirit of God breathes into a saint of God and he speaks on behalf of God with the power and authority of the Holy Spirit, God is now bound to honor that word. So when Ezekiel spoke it, when Isaiah spoke it, when David spoke it, when Daniel spoke it, when Matthew spoke it, when John the Baptist spoke it, guess what? God is going to honor it. That's how important that is. So he establishes it long before it happens, knowing that I will not let that word go out void. So now all of a sudden, when the hand of the Lord puts me down in the valley. How many of you ever been in a valley before? How many have ever been in a dry valley before? Well, can I tell you something right now? I know there's a lot of you that are, or I wouldn't be preaching a sermon. Can I tell you something right now? Let me get up so I can see everybody. God wants you to know he sees you where you're at. You might be dry. It may feel like you've not felt God in a long time. There's some of you that have served him for a long time, and you've even said, "Lord, I don't feel like it like I used to. I used to feel you more than I do now." You're in a very dry state. And guess what? God said, even though the bones were in a dry valley, I myself by my hand in verse 1 took Ezekiel in the spirit, and I'm the one that placed him there. Can I tell you something? God wants you to know today, whether you're there by your own doing or he placed you there, it's no accident. But his spirit has not left you. He can do for Ezekiel what he can do for Israel, he can do for you. He can raise you up. He can restore unto you the joy of your salvation. Notice, the hand of God was the one that put him in the valley. God was in control the whole time, Bubby. Can I tell you something right now? You may feel like, guess what? Preacher, you don't understand. Some of this is my own doing. Some of this is my fault. It just snowballed. It was one thing after another. I shouldn't have done this, but then I had to do this. Can I tell you something right now? God wants you to know his grace is sufficient. If you're dry, you're not meant to be dry. That's what he wants you to know. Can I tell you something? Why am I preaching this? Because he's coming back. And if you're dry, you're not going to go. Oh, my goodness. And he caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. See, when I read Scripture, I'm one of them dorks, Vicki, that just pays attention to every word. There were very many, and it was very dry. You know, the Bible didn't even have to put it in there like that. You could leave the word very out, and it still makes sense. There were many, and it was dry. And that gets the point across to me pretty good. There was many, and it was dry. But you know what? He said there was very many, and it was very dry. So what's that akin to me, Ray? God could have said, for God loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believed in him should not perish forever. But he didn't. He put the word so in there. Why'd he do it? Because it means that much to him. God not only loved the world, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He so loved you that he gave Jesus the best that heaven was. He so loved you that if you messed up, there was grace and mercy to cover you. He so loved you that, guess what? If you walked away from him, he would still stay back and welcome you back with Father's arms. Hallelujah. He so loved us. There was very many, and it was very dry. This valley that some of you have been in is far longer than God intended you to be there. He may have allowed you to go through the valley, but why? Not for nothing other but to show you how much you need him. Guess what? He's here this morning to say, I'll bring you out of the mountain. I'll bring you out of the valley. I am the God that can do it if you'll allow me to do it. If you want to be trying and try to make it on your own, good luck with that. There's people sitting all over this country, all over this world, that are in dried out, dying churches. Can I tell you something? That's not God's will. That's not God's way. God's way is a way of power. God's way is a way of authority. God's way is love. God's way is mercy. God's way is oil poured out, running over as it ran down Aaron's beard. God wants you to know the power of the Holy Spirit that he poured out on Aaron that day still is available to you. You don't have to be dry. If you're dry, it's your own fault. The oil, when he prayed in Gethsemane, he prayed till his sweat pearl became great drops of blood. It was a pressing. It was a crushing. He prayed. The anointing of God was released that day just for you and just for me. Lest we forget, the cross is still legally binding. The adversary still cannot come over the bloodline. The adversary still has no power and authority in the name of Jesus. He is the all-powerful Son of God. He is at the right hand of the Father right now. Do you understand what I tell you this? He's not just a phantom. He's not just an apparition. He's alive, Terry. And he's right now in heaven at the right hand of God the Father. And every time I have a need, every time I mess up, every time I'm in trouble, I can go to him. And my high priest, my prayer. I don't have to go to a man. I don't have to call Pastor Walker. I don't have to try to get a hold of the president. Why? Because Jesus hears me. That's why we're here. Lest we forget that. His death, burial, and resurrection ensured that you don't have to be dry.
You understand that? There were very many, and it was very dry. Very many and very dry. And he goes on in verse 3 and says, and he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. Can these bones live again? And Ezekiel, smart thing to say, Lord, you know it. So in other words, I ain't going there. Ezekiel, can these bones live again? Lord, you know it. Then prophesy. I'm here to tell you right now, he sent me here to speak his word. And I'm nobody. I'm not the least of any of you. But you know what? I'm not speaking my word. I'm speaking his word. So guess what? Until he calls me home, that's what my privilege is to do. So I say to you, I prophesy to you, church, listen, if your desire is to feel the love of God, if your desire is to feel the power of God, if your desire is to come out of that dry valley, then guess what? You've got to first repent of your sins, turn from your iniquity, and realize he's a holy God. He's a holy God, and he just don't give the Holy Ghost to anybody. You have to be a fit subject for the kingdom of God. But when you do those things, he'll breathe into you. Son of man, prophesy. Prophesy to these bones, and I'll bring them together. So I tell you today, if you'll come back to the cross, if you'll allow him to breathe into you, that dry valley will only be a testimony. Yeah. Only God can take your mess and turn it into a message, and your test into a testimony. But you got to give it to him. And guess what? I'm from Greenville. I've made plenty of messes in my life. Plenty of messes in my life. And just like all you guys, I'm not perfect. But I serve a perfect God. And growing up, we used to fight and bicker around a lot. That's back in the days when parents let you fight and not make a federal case out of it. If there's always somebody bigger than you that you couldn't whoop, you'd always go get a bigger brother. If he got a bigger brother, you get a bigger cousin, Lindsay. Till finally, whoever had the biggest one usually won. Just the way it was. Can I tell you something right now? When the devil's got me on the ropes, I know when to say uncle. But you know what I've learned? He may be bigger than me, but he's not bigger than Jesus. I don't have to fight that battle, Cody. I don't have to fight that battle, Cody. Jesus will fight that for me. That's what I've learned of it. That's what I've learned. And I will say, and I will lay sinews upon you and bring flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live and you shall know that I am the Lord. So in other words, the way you came in here don't have to be the way that you leave. I can change your appearance. If you will come unto me, if you will listen to what the Holy Ghost said this morning, what the message and the interpretation came during Sunday school, if you'll heed that, God said, whatever you walked in here carrying, I'll carry off of it, I'll carry it myself, and I'll let you go free. That's what he's saying. Think about that. He didn't do nothing wrong, Bubby. I've done it all. But he's saying, I can drop it at his feet, and he'll carry it for me, and he'll let me go free. He'll pardon me, Vicky. He'll pardon me. Ain't that so good? Ain't that so great, Josh? I don't deserve that, but he does it. None of us deserve it, but he does it, Joe. He's pardoned me, Pat. He told me I can go free. I can go free. I'm free now. I don't have to carry my mistakes. I don't have to carry my burdens. I don't have to be in captivity and chains. I can go free. I can be a free man.
Only those that are bound can understand how great it is to be free. I'm free. I'm free. My temper don't control me no more. Jesus does. I'm free. Maybe you ain't been bound like I was. So I prophesied as I was commanded. So keep in mind who's in control here. Who's in charge? Ezekiel said, I prophesied as I was commanded. So I'm taking my orders. I tell you something right here. If you don't like me when we leave here, take it up with God. I'm taking my orders. I'm doing what I was commanded. I love you. I love you. But he's saying, repent. Repent and be ye holy, for I am holy. I'm coming back. I'm coming back. And I'm coming back for those that are ready, those that are waiting, and those that are watching. But for you that are dry, for you that are dry, like he told the churches in the book of Revelation, repent. I don't do it as to blast you. I'm doing it because I love you. Repent. It's what the Lord is saying. Repent. Turn from those things. The things of the world is what shields you from the presence of God. Do you understand that? Who? Are you ready for this? When a preacher preaches this, and I'm going to give an altar call. I'll go ahead and let you know right now. I knew that coming in. I was giving an altar call. But listen, here's the thing about it. When I give an altar call, don't let your pride keep you from the altar. There's been many people's pride not only kept them from the altar, it kept them from heaven. And this is a battle between heaven and hell. Do you understand that? There's a man in hell right now to this day who still wishes somebody would dip his finger in water and touch his tongue because Ray is still in torments. It's a real place, folks. The Bible says, where the worm dieth not. What's that mean? Brother Danny, you know what that means. You and I know what that means. You'll want to die. You'll wish you could die, but you can't die. Where the worm dieth not, where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. That means there's crying and moaning. God, it hurts so much. God, forgive me. But can I tell you something? By that time, it's too late. Listen to me as I tell you. You don't want to go there. And Jesus made a way. Listen to what I'm telling you. I'm pleading with you today. God loves you. He's coming back. You don't have to be a valley of dry bones. Allow the Spirit of God to breathe into you. Terry's shirt's holding up pretty good. Thank you, Lord. I'm about to land this plane. There was a noise, and behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. When I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then said unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded, and the breath came up unto them, and they lived and stood up on their feet, an exceeding great army. So can I tell you something right now, what the Word has established today? Ready for this? We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Ain't none of us getting to heaven without Jesus. The blood has to be applied. Our names have to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's what the Word establishes. I don't have to tell you that. The Bible's done made that abundantly clear. That's everybody here, okay? Nobody's better than anybody else. Ain't no big I's or little U's in this congregation, okay? But here's what God wants you to know. Here's what he wants you to know. The only way, the last part of that, before they came to real life again, the bones came together, the muscles and the skin came upon them, but yet they laid there. Some of you, your bones are together, your muscles and your skin are still upon you, but you're still laying there, a dead corpse in a dry, dead valley. And he said, prophesy to the wind, son of man, prophesy, do what I command you to do. That word wind, by the way, is the same Hebrew word, ruach, Martha. And you know what that was? That was the same word that when God came down to Adam in the cool of the day, in the ruach, he had fellowship with him. So here's what I'm telling you. If you're there in body, you're coming to church every Sunday, your bones are together, your muscles are together, your skin, you look like you're doing good, you look like you're walking fine, but God knows if you got any spirit in you. God knows if you got any wind in you. God knows if you got any oil in you. So let me tell you something right now. I'm not inviting you to have bones. I'm not inviting you for skin or any muscle, but I'm inviting you to allow the ruach of God, the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Holy One to be breathed into you, that you'll become alive in Jesus. That's what I'm here to do. Can I tell you something right now? Here recently, as you could stand to your feet, please. Recently, Pastor Walker was talking to several of us. And he informed me of something. As Emily's daughter, as you guys know, it got me thinking about Emily's generation and those younger than her. So he'll always ask Emily when church is over, "What'd you get? You know, did you enjoy the sermon?" Emily will comment on it, yay or nay, you know, this, that, and other. And says, "Yeah, Dad, but what am I supposed to do?" So, ever since that, it's really hit home with me, Brother Lindsay. When I preach, I believe what you're saying, preacher. I don't doubt that. I agree with you. I amen you. But now, what am I supposed to do with this information? That's what they're saying, that generation. That's what they're saying. And see, a lot of you know that Pastor Walker talks about AI some when he's up here. I've got a new thing that I've inserted into my sermons, Leanne. It's not AI. It's E.T., Emily Trogdon. So, what do you want me to do, preacher? What do you want me to do? That's why I ask you to stand to your feet with every head bowed. Here's what I want you to do. This ain't about being saved. If you don't know the Lord, you need to come first off, first and foremost, as the altar team comes. If you don't know the Lord and the free pardon of sin, your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, if you're not sure that if Jesus had come back right now, you'd be ready to go. Folks, listen, His return is imminent. His return is imminent. He's coming back soon. He's coming back. If we don't know Him, we don't have relationship with Him, our name's not written in heaven in the Lamb's Book of Life, then church, guess what? We're going to be left behind. That's just the plain truth of the matter. So if you're here and you don't know the Lord, I want to open this altar up for you first. If there's a sin that's inside of you, any sin, yes, and I'm one of those people that believes that there's one sin that's not under the blood, when He comes back, you'll be left behind. That's not being harsh, that's being real. Lord brought me here today ready for this, and you can mark it down. He didn't bring me here to give you revelation. He told me here to bring realization. He's coming back. But He loves you so much, and He wants to take everybody back with Him. So if you're here today and you don't know the Lord, or you have a sin in your life, if you've done something this week and maybe said something, done something you shouldn't have done, come and get it covered under the blood right now. Right now. Nothing else, nothing's worth missing heaven for, folks. Can I tell you that right now? Weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Listen to that. Weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. If you don't know the Lord, listen, He's coming soon. Please be ready. Please, while we're here, while we tarry, won't you come? Won't you come? You know the truth. Maybe you've walked with the Lord before and you went back. Can I tell you something? All you got to do is come home. The prodigal son, all he had to do was realize he had better back a father's house. And once he did, he just ran to father's house and Bubby, what did he do? He didn't criticize him. He put his arms around him and loved on him. He didn't condemn him. He took him in and put a ring on his finger and clothes on his back and filled his belly with food. Because my son, which was dead, is now alive. That's what amazing grace is all about. If you're here and you don't know Jesus, allow amazing grace into your life one more time.